Hello, and welcome to the MichaelCrane.live podcast. The podcast is about entrepreneurship and tips for staying highly motivated to make a positive change in your life. Keep listening and follow the podcast to stay connected with the community at MichaelCrane.live. So get comfy and enjoy today's conversation.
Ryan McKinney has an impressive list of achievements that few people could match. A successful career in financial services, sales leadership, and lean manufacturing has earned him the respect and admiration of his peers. But he was not content with that. He wanted to do more. He wanted to help others achieve their full potential. And so Ryan dedicated himself to helping success-hungry professionals flourish at work and home. Drawing from his deep well of experiences, he is able to illustrate his key leadership and performance concepts in a way that made him easy to understand and apply to the lives of others. His passion and dedication to helping others become the best version of themselves was evident in the transformation he was able to create in the lives of those he worked with. Welcome, Ryan, to the MichaelCrane.live podcast.
Thanks, Michael. I'm glad to be here. This is awesome.
Good. Well, let's get started. I want to take you back, Ryan, to corporate America. What was that like as a starting point to where you are today?
You know, that's a great question. I spent 20 years working in corporate America. I met some of the most amazing people, got to experience a lot of really good learning experiences, or have a lot of really good learning experiences. And I got to have some really tough learning experiences as well. So to get to where I am today, you know, going through some of those tough experiences, I wouldn't have wished some of those on my worst enemies, but I'm glad that I went through them, and they serve as an outstanding foundation for my ability to relate to my clients today and serve them, whether they're in small business or in corporate America, and really help to, it gives me an ability to understand how they feel, to see the challenges that they're dealing with, to hear that inner voice that they, you know, that they're battling sometimes. It's a great building block. It's a great foundation for what I'm doing today.
You know, life's a habit to take us on highs and troughs. You mentioned tough times, but share what you consider to be a tough time in corporate America.
So sometimes tough times in corporate America have to do with what's going on in the economy and the world. And I was working in financial services and in the banking industry in 2008 when the bottom fell out. That was a very difficult and trying time. And at the point in time, I was working for Wachovia Bank, which is was a regional bank at that point in time. Wells Fargo has since purchased them and taken over that particular bank. But I was working for them, and it was difficult because we were not only facing challenges of clients coming in, and these are people who had invested, you know, with money with us, or had mortgage loans with us, or had lots of money on deposit with us, coming in and just really unsure and somewhat of a panic. And we had to be calm and reassure them at the same time we were concerned and unsure about what was going on, and trying to figure it out for ourselves. So that was a very difficult time where everybody was experiencing it together. And then there's the little micro situations in business where, you know, you're going through a tough time as a, you know, a sales leader. Maybe things aren't going, you're not hitting goals, you've got a challenge on your team, or somebody, one of your best players decides they want to go work for somebody else. You know, those are all challenging pieces of adversity, that going through those and not just surviving through them, but really tapping into your resources, tapping into your mentors and those around you to figure out how to actually excel in those situations. You know, without that type of adversity, you don't get the well-rounded piece of business that helps you to relate. And, you know, it can, any given day, there's going to be some challenge in business, right? If business was easy, everybody would own one, everybody would run one, and we'd all be, you know, super happy and swimming in cash all the time. But business is not easy all the time. It's a challenge. And I think that's what draws most of us to it, is because we know it's not easy and not everybody can do it. But everybody that puts their mind to it and approaches it with the right attitude can. So
do you think going through the financial crisis of 2008 was the starting block, the springboard to you starting out doing what you're currently doing as an entrepreneur?
I kind of do and I kind of don't, because I was a business owner before I got into corporate America. I owned a business and sold it before I got to age 30. It wasn't where I wanted to head in life. That type of work was not what I wanted to do. We owned a small low voltage contracting business where we did alarm systems and smart home kind of things like that. I was a lot in the construction field and working in that environment. And although I enjoyed it and enjoyed all the people I worked with, it wasn't what I wanted to ultimately do. So I think, you know, for me, it starts even further than that. It goes back before my time in corporate America. My dad used to have this huge sign over the top of his desk in his office, and it just said attitude. That's all it said, attitude, no punctuation, no nothing else. And, it was, you know, that, you know, I'd ask him about that as I got older. And essentially, he pointed me to self-help books and professional development books and things like that. So I started reading a lot of Zig Ziglar, a lot of Jeffrey Gittimer, a lot of different folks that were popular at the time. And I think that was really the start of where I am. I was like, oh, you can attitude your way into being really good. Okay. I like that. I like the way that sounds. That means that, you know, I can have some sort of control over it. And I think that's really where, if I think all the way back to where my personal and professional development journey and to getting into a place where I help other people professionally and personally develop, I think that's really where it started.
Can you share your starting book titles?
So one was it's Selling by Zig Ziglar. That was one of my first ones I got into. One of my favorite books, and it's actually at the very top of my top 10 list, was written in the 30s by Dale Carnegie. Probably know it already, How to Win Friends and Influence People. A lot of people will say that the book is dated and, you know, it needs an update. And the fact is there are so many principles in that book. Disregard the language that's used from the 30s. If you apply today's language, the principles are the same, right? Treat people genuinely, be very interested in other people, seek to understand before being understood. Those are all very valuable principles in business. And, you know, since then, I don't know if she intended it this way, but I've kind of heard that this was the thing, is that Lael Lowndes, who wrote the book, what's it called? Let's see. How to Talk to Anyone is kind of the follow-up to How to Win Friends and Influence People. So if you haven't read that one, that was a really good book on networking.
What I will do, I'll share your top 10 list of books in the content below our podcast for our listeners to go and take a look at those and hopefully buy them in due course. But, you know, I want to come and bring you back to the sign above your dad's office door, attitude. Mm-hmm. Why is the word attitude so important for you? And what does it ultimately mean? Because I think by what you're saying has driven you to be the man you are today.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. The reason attitude is so, it's for multiple reasons. One, we all know a good attitude on someone when we see it, right? And we know what it feels like to step into something with a great attitude. And, you know, I go back to the days of sports and growing up in a very American football oriented, we'll say that for your audience, by the way, a very American oriented football environment in the South. And You know, we learned very early on that there are two things that you can control, and that's your attitude and your effort. The rest of it, you have to navigate, and you can, you know, you can work through and adapt. But if you step into something with the right attitude and you give it all your effort, those two things you can control. And I think I like that about that's what drove me to that attitude. I've got control of this. I can take control of that. I can manage this. I can change this, and I can use this positive attitude to move me forward. And I think that was exciting for me.
So where does the skill set come into that equation?
The skill set, how do you mean?
Well, you can have the right attitude, but if you're not that skillful, it doesn't really matter, right? Or do you look at it in a different way?
I do look at it a little differently. So I think about three components when it comes to success. And when I think about those, attitude is kind of wrapped up in this, but they're essentially skill, talent, and desire. And desire and attitude are very, very close together. And the way I think about that is you can have somebody who is extremely talented and have zero skill and have a terrible attitude, and they will make it so far, but they won't be super successful. If you've got somebody that is extremely talented, they develop their skills, but they have no desire, and their attitude is poor, then they will also be less successful. They're not going to be successful at that. But even if you have no talent and you have very little skill, if you have desire and attitude, you can develop the skill, and over time that can become an inherent talent for you, something that you can rely on, that becomes second nature. And I think that's what's so important about it is like, when you just have it, I mean, you don't have to have a skill, but you can learn those along the way, right? And talent, you can overcome very low talent with a lot of desire and learning the skill. And I think there's something to that. I think that especially for small business owners, entrepreneurs, people in business all over, I think there's something really magical about that.
So as you're speaking there, Ryan, I'm trying to align it with someone just starting out in their business. They may be fairly skillful, but as we know, to be successful as an entrepreneur, you need to be, I don't like the word or the phrase jack of all trades, master of none, but you do need to be a jack of all trades and master of them all. So one may say the person isn't that talented in all those areas. And if they're starting at a young age, they may or may not be that skillful. But what actually sets them out above the rest is the passion, the desire, the determination, and a whole lot of perspiration to achieve the results. So what's your view on that statement?
Well, I mean, first of all, I absolutely agree with it. For someone starting out, and it doesn't matter if you are starting a candle business or if you are trying to invent something that the world needs, if you've got the desire and can maintain that PMA, that positive mental attitude to move towards fulfilling that desire, you can't sustain the type of energy and effort that you need to get a business up and off the ground for the entire time you're going to run that business, if it's going to be successful for, you know, many years to come. But there will be a season where it's okay. In fact, it's required to kind of roll your sleeves up and get in there and do the work. And that may mean that you've got to learn a little bit of coding around doing a website. That may mean you got to learn a little bit of, you know, email marketing. That may mean that you got to learn a little bit of, you know, how to package something up and go to a pop-up market or something like that. It may mean that you've got to do those things where you've got to be that kind of jack of all trades. And it's okay if you're terrible at some of them. That's okay. But by doing those, you do learn along the way which one of those things that you're good at, which ones you're not good at, the things you like to do, the things you don't like to do. And as you begin to earn money and, you know, bring the discipline into the business management of your organization, you can start to recognize which ones of those things that you would like to pay for somebody else's skills and talents for. And that's how you can start to scale and expand your business. But without doing that, well, let me back up. I see many people in small business, entrepreneurship, starting businesses, I see them make two big mistakes. One is they're not willing to do all of those things in order to get their business up and off the ground. They try to hire people too fast. And then the other one is that they never hire someone. They try to do it all by themselves. And both of those will absolutely exhaust you given the amount of time you put in it. You got to be thoughtful and careful about that, because your business is thriving off of your energy. It's thriving off of what you're able to put into it. And if you zap your energy over, you know, because you've overextended yourself and not able to hire somebody else, or because you've overextended your resources because you've hired too many people, you can find yourself in a tight spot.
So let's have a quick recap on where we are right now. You started off before corporate America in a electrical business, CCTV sort of business. Then you went and had a career in the financial services business.
Yep.
But where are you now?
Yeah. Well, and there, a lot in the situation has changed. So after financial services, I started to work for a durable goods company here in the States. Our global company, but their headquarters, our North American headquarters here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm at. And worked for them in strategic planning and operations and sales planning, and learned a lot about the back end of the business doing that in lean manufacturing and lots of other really, really cool things. Learned some skills around sales and operations planning and integrated business planning that are pretty unique to the durable goods industry, but now being sort of widespread across. And I liked it. It was interesting. I learned a lot. I was good at it. But I had hit a ceiling in my trajectory and growth in my career. And I'd applied for a few different positions in the company. One was a sales position because I had been in sales and sales leadership before. One of them was a management for an operations, transportation, and distribution portion of the business. And then the third one was a sales operations role. Well, I got turned down for the sales role because the organization saw me as the operations guy. And for those of you listening and not watching me, that I'm using my air quotes there. So the sales folks turned me down because they thought of me as an operations person. The operations role turned me down because they thought of me as a salesperson coming into the organization. And then the sales ops role turned me down because they thought it was I was overqualified for the position and that I was just trying to move out of what I was doing. And there may be some truth to all of those, but the fact was is that I was exhausted as trying to, like, what am I going to do now? And I hired a coach, started working with a coach, in a very short amount of time, we figured out that it was really about the energy I was presenting, about the way I was showing up and the work I was doing. And over the course of the next year working with her, I ended up turning things around, was tapped by that same company to go and start an entirely new department, hire 12 people, gave me a budget for software to implement and a process to develop. And it was like my own little world and business, everything I'd been asking for. She said, "Wow, you did it. What do you want to do next?" And it was so transformational for me. I said, "I think I want to do what you just did for me for other people." And that was, you know, 5 years ago. And that was where my coaching career was born. I went into executive coaching and got certified there through the ICF and through IPEC organization. And I've been coaching people since, was still working in corporate, and then left corporate, went full time with my business in 2022. And that's what I do now, is I help people in business to really connect at work and at home, make sure that they're flourishing in both places. And that the reason I tag that piece about, you know, at work and at home, is it's very important for me and the people that I work with, that family is why we're doing what we do. We don't have a family as a business person. we're a family person or a family man that works in business and succeeds there. And it gives me my purpose and my why. And that's why it's important to me. So
anyone starting out in their business right now as an entrepreneur, they've got all these grandeur ideas of where they want to be and what they're going to be doing and how they're going to get to where they want to go. What advice do you give that entrepreneur starting out on their journey? Because this is a very, very daunting, some may say a lonesome journey, lonesome in many ways, but full of risk. What do you tell that person as a coach, first and foremost, and secondly, as a family man?
So I would agree with you on the lonely piece. Stepping into small business ownership, entrepreneurship, it can be lonely for many reasons. One, a lot of times as entrepreneurs, I'm going to answer all of those questions, but let me start with this. As an entrepreneur, a lot of times we do a lot of convincing of the people around us, or at least in my experience, that's what I see. We do a lot of convincing to the people around us, like our wives, our families, our friends, the people we work with, that this is going to work, right? And we bring this energy into it. Hey, I've done the math. I've done the hard work. I'm willing to do everything it takes to make this thing work. We're going to make it. So when things don't look good for an entrepreneur, they have no one to talk to, right? You can't go talk to your wife, or if you're a businesswoman, you can't go talk to your husband because you're the one that said, hey, this thing's going to work. And now, you know, they feel like they can't talk to him anyway, because if I open up about this, that means that it's not working. And then there's a lot of that kind of mindset gremlin stuff that pops up and can tangle you up.
So you're lonely in business and you can't ask your wife and your family members sometimes, but who do you ask?
Typically no one. They'll internalize it. And then what happens is because they've given that little seed of doubt in their own mind, they've given it some life, they've given it some water. What ends up happening is it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. They end up, you know, they're worried to death about not succeeding. So what ends up happening is because of all that energy, that catabolic energy that they're holding onto, they end up not succeeding. And really it's about letting go of that energy, teaching people how to shift their mindset away from that negative catabolic energy of this isn't going to work, that scarcity mindset, and then start to really believe and start to think about where's the proof that this is working? Where's the proof that things are moving in the right direction? Is this adversity that I'm facing and that I'm going to overcome it? Because if I can step outside myself and go, yes, of course, this is going to be hard. And this is one of those times that's hard, right? There's a lot you can do on your own with that mindset piece if you're trained in how to do it. That's where I come in, right? That's part of what I teach in my programs that I offer, which kind of leads into that second, or the original first question that you had, which was what advice would I give? And people just starting out, they think that there is this wide world of things that all need to be done right now, and they don't. Strategy is not only telling the world what you're going to do and how to do it. Strategy is also telling the world what you're not going to do or when you're going to do things. And getting people really clear on that, in my humble opinion, and what I teach my clients is, there are 8 components that you need to be focused on, and some of them more than others at different times. And one of the biggest problems I see with entrepreneurs is they bite off more than they can chew, and they're going to try to chew it. Like whatever they can do, they're going to make it all work. And before you know it, we talked about it earlier, right? They're the chief marketing officer. They're the chief business officer. They're the chief sales person. They're the chief product development person, the chief delivery person, and they're the chief people person. They're going to hire and fire and do all the stuff to go with it. And they think they have to do all that at once. And in my program, that's not how we do this. And guess what else they missed in all of those 6 right there? They missed out on the self-discipline, the mental aspects. What energy do you bring? How do you maintain you? Because you're the one that's creating all the business here. And then the second one is the people leadership. How do you do the communication? And that leads into the second question you ask. How do you get clear and transparent with your family in a way that garners their support instead of you having to go to your family or not go to your family, but go to your family and say, hey, this isn't working, or this is where we're running into challenges. How do you do that? And I teach people on those aspects as well. So,
Ryan, I've got a question for you. How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time and with salt.
With a bit of pepper as well. Indeed. And that's a really, really big lesson to learn. Big elephant, you're not going to be able to do it all. But small steps, small bites achieve the goal in mind. But you must have a very, very clear vision along the route. You know, we've spoken previously about leadership, and I can tell by what you've done so far in your career, certainly in the financial services, I think, not that you've told me, but you mentioned about these two scenarios. Leader number one walks into the room and smashes his fist on the table and demands attention. I haven't met that person, by the way. Or the second scenario is the leader walks into the room and you want to automatically shake their hand. Has this happened to you?
Yes. Some of the adversity facing time in corporate America, there was, you know, there was more than one time where leaders would come into the room and, you know, results may not have been where they wanted them or where the team wanted them. And that was the energy that they brought. And then what we're talking about is essentially that energy, right? There are two types of energy that I teach my clients about. One is catabolic energy, and that's the stress kind of fight or flight energy. And then there's anabolic energy, which is this growth, healing, opportunistic, restorative type of energy that is associated with success. And if we think about one being stress energy and one being success energy, well, some leaders will use that stress energy to get things done. And the reason they do that is because it's worked for them in the past. Like it absolutely has worked. And the reason that is the case is I personally believe stress is a God-given gift to us in order to keep us alive. It's really about existing, survival, right? It's fight or flight energy. It's about running from saber-toothed tigers or bears or, you know, whatever might be threatening your life. And it's meant for short-term energy. It's not sustainable, but it is effective. And in those moments where those leaders would smash their hand on the desk and say, hey, we got to get this done by five, or we've got to get these results, we've got to, this has got to happen. In those situations, that energy, that stress energy, if you operate like that as a leader, as with thinking that that's a sustainable strategy, well, you're going to lose people. They're going to leave. They're going to go work for somebody else. They're going to do something different. That other leader where you are, you know, you've got somebody who is inspiring. You can't wait to jump on their team. You want to go work for them because they do really good things. They like investing in their people. Those are all things that bring about opportunity. Those are long-term strategies on leadership. And I heard something working with someone today that was in professional sports, and essentially, you know, such a great lesson. And I'll just share it with you here. It's like, you never get onto somebody for poor performance. Get onto them for poor attitude and for poor work ethic. But if somebody is busting their tail, you know, getting out there doing everything they can, and they've got a really good attitude and the results just don't come in, nobody wanted it more in that moment than that person. So getting on to them isn't effective anyway. But you can step in and support that person during that time. Now, when I take that to these two scenarios, right, and I think about that, which leader do you want to be in your business? Do you want to be the one who's slamming their fist on the table and creating a survival only or an existence only type of atmosphere in your business? Is that why you got into business? Or do you want to be the one that's got long-term success and sustainability in there, right? And the question's up to you, but ultimately, I think we all know what the answer would be.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you make. But the reason why I ask the question about leadership is I hear and speak to so many entrepreneurs. Their main objective for doing what they do is to run a business, to build an empire, to mm-hmm. be successful, to have the freedom to choose what you do when you do it. Leadership is a very interesting subject. It's one that I didn't realize as an entrepreneur that I would have to master this skill. So most entrepreneurs that are listening to this podcast, let me tell you, whether you like it or not, to be effective, you can't do it all yourself. And you need to learn the strategies to lead people. So what leader are you? And I ask that to my listeners first. What leader are you? But also, Ryan, what leader are you?
I would love to say that I'm always the one who's inspiring and exciting to be around. You can't wait to shake my hand. But I got to tell you, I'm a human being just like the rest of us. And although I don't do a whole lot of fist slamming down and yelling at people in my business or anything like that, that does take place inside my head. Like I've got to be thoughtful about that. And this is another good lesson for the entrepreneurs out there is even if you are not yelling at people and slamming your fist on the table, you're probably doing that to yourself. Your inner critic is one of the toughest bosses you will ever have. And here's the thing, they aren't really the boss, you are. The thing about your inner critic is that you will listen to that voice more than you listen to your spouse, more than you will listen to any book or podcast or anything else. That one that says, who do you think you are? Why do you think you can run this business? I told you this was a dumb idea. All of those voices that you hear in your head telling you to quit and that this is a stupid thing to do, those voices are there because this is going to break your heart a little bit. You created them when you were much younger in order to survive a difficult situation. That's where that inner critic comes from. The fact is those voices no longer serve you today. And in your situation in business, they certainly don't serve you anymore. So the fact is you don't have to listen to that inner critic. But yeah, coming back to the question, I'm telling you not to listen to your inner critic, but we've all got one. And the other bad news is it doesn't go away. You got to learn how to change your relationship with that inner critic. And you can be the boss of that inner critic as well. But sometimes it gets the better of us. Just notice when it's happening and you'll be all the better for it.
I was going to ask you as we bring the podcast to an end today, Ryan, what one thing would you advise an aspiring entrepreneur to do when setting out on their journey in their business to build an empire, to be the next Elon Musk, if you like him or not, or be the next man on the moon?
You know, I think that's actually a really good one. I think it would be two things I would tell them. I would cheat a little bit and I would tell them two things. One is master your own self-discipline, which includes that inner voice, right? This is learning how to motivate yourself, learning how to maintain the right attitude, learning how to quell that inner voice, that inner critic. So master your own self-discipline. And then the second thing would be is get support, get help. Like doing this all alone it's not a badge of honor. It will burn you out. And when you're burned out, you've got two options. One, crash and burn. And two, go back to work in corporate or go back to work for somebody else. And as an entrepreneur in this business, you know that that goes against one of your biggest values, which is freedom, and your second biggest value, which is adventure, and your third, which is accomplishment. So number one thing to do is master your own self-discipline. And the cheat code here, number two, is get support in doing what you're doing.
You know what? That brings our podcast to a really, really nice, solid end today, Ryan. Thank you so much for your time.
Michael, thank you. And thanks to everybody out there listening. This is awesome.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have a business story to share, please reach out and contact us on michael@michaelcrane.live. To hear more stories from entrepreneurs and business leaders, make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes and Spotify so you never miss an episode. We look forward to having you back for our next podcast show. Thank you.
Today's show has been sponsored by www.teameasycrane.co.uk. We help you build your business and grow recurring profits. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button.